Let's go to Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for each one here today. I ask, Father, please, that you bless. I pray you already have. I pray that you speak to our hearts and help us to hear what you have to say to us. And I pray, Father, please, that you will help us to be the reflection of you, to be light and salt, or salt and light in the world, not light salt. And so honor that, Father, and help us to commune with you and fellowship together. And may you be pleased. In Jesus' name, amen. Did you get that? Salt and light. Be salt and light, but don't be light salt. Ineffective light salt. Ineffective light salt. Okay, don't be that way. So, Be salt and light, but not light salt. Okay. It sounds a little bit redundant, but just to ask you a question is rhetorical. You answer yourself. How do you respond when people hurt you? What should your response be? Do you find yourself going first to Jesus and praying about it? Do you find yourself, and I don't mean leaving the area and going first to Jesus. I mean in the middle of it going first to Jesus. Saying, I'm offended, I'm mad. Do you start praying? Do you know how you can talk and pray at the same time? That's the only two things I can do at once. Talk and pray. In the back of my mind, I'm praying, Lord, help me to know the right thing to say, how to respond. Sometimes it's very effective for me. Other times, I'm not hearing what God is telling me as clearly. So we need to learn to respond to offenses and anger and personal hurts in a way that glorifies God and does not entail you and I retaliating anger for anger, hurt for hurt, insult for insult. That's not how we're supposed to be. And some people will take no action. And you might say, well, that's perfect. Like the kids were saying, oh, I just be quiet and walk away. Say sure and walk away. That's okay, but what's the problem with that? If you're not taking it to God in prayer, but you're allowing yourself to walk away and then hold on to it in here. If we hold on to that bitterness and anger in here, we've walked away from the situation, but we've allowed the situation to stay in our heart. And it causes bitterness, and it causes deeper anger and insult. It breaks relationships because of that unseen, sort of, internal lack of forgiveness. And extremely dangerous for us as believers in Christ. And so if we realize that when we harbor bitterness in our heart, we're creating a real problem for ourselves, not for the person that offended us. And we have to remember that. You do great damage to yourself like a landmine going off. We're talking about landmines, right? Last week we talked about landmines. We're talking about landmines this week. So you do great damage to yourself like a landmine going off when you have an unforgiving spirit. Have you ever seen body muse over anger and hurt so long that their character changes? Does the character change and their countenance, their behavior, their look on their face, whatever changes? And they may not even realize it because they've put it so deep in their heart that it comes out and manifests itself in our mannerisms. You see, that's detrimental to us. We're really hurting ourselves the most. We're not hurting. Our mind might be saying we want to retaliate and we want to send a message and we want to slap them down any way we can by our behavior. When we do that, we're hurting ourselves. We should be going to God about this thing. The act of unforgiveness does not punish the other person. Instead, it punishes us. We will find ourselves, as we hide our anger in our heart, developing a stronger contempt for that person, right? We'll develop a greater depth of bitterness in our hearts. And I call that spiritual. Now, I'm not playing on words here. I'm not making light of it because I think it's a reality. A spiritual cancer. Because when bitterness is set and we feed on it and feed it and feed it and feed it and feed it, it becomes a cancer that consumes us spiritually. It robs us of the walk that God wants us to have with Him. It robs us of our focus. We become consumed with a bad attitude about what somebody did to us, when we should be simply remembering what Jesus did for us and forgiving others. I used to think, well, if they don't come and ask for forgiveness, then I can't forgive them. That was part of my immaturity at one time. But the reality is we should be forgiving automatically. And that forgiveness should not just be an act, should not be external, should not just be a verbal declaration. It should be a heartfelt reality. And so I want to read that verse that I had with the kids a moment ago in Ephesians 4:32. It says, "And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." It doesn't say, "And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, and forgiving one another if they've asked you forgiveness, even as God is forgiving you." It doesn't say that. It says that forgiveness should be part of the character of our walk in Christ. We should be able to show that grace that we forgive even if the person doesn't deserve it. Because that's the hang up. I'll give you forgiveness when I know you, when you know you, you know, I feel like, okay, you deserve my forgiveness. But think about our relationship with Jesus. Did we deserve his forgiveness? Did we do anything that merited his forgiveness? No. But he forgave us. He died for us on the cross. So we're to be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. And that sounds simple. You and I know that, but it's not easy, is it? I mean, it's a simple fact of Scripture, God's directive in our life, but it's a difficult thing to apply at times. And so we have to learn, as we rely on the power of God, to show grace, to show forgiveness, to be tender-hearted, to care for each other. And you know, one of the things that we need to do in that is we go to God in our prayer time. We get on our face, we get on our knees, whatever posture you're in for prayer time, and you tell God how mad you are. You tell God what hurts. You tell God your reasons. And then you ask God, "Counsel me. Lord, you sent the Holy Spirit to be my counselor. So counsel me with the truth and the insight that you want me to have so I don't harbor bitterness that overcomes me spiritually and robs me of being the person that you want me to be." We've got to look at it straight on and deal with it before the Lord if we're going to eradicate that bitterness from our heart, because it's not our natural tendency to forgive. And the enemy will entice us to become angry, very angry, right? And when someone hurts you in word or in deed, our natural tendency is to take revenge. And it's done in different ways. "I am going to scorn you with the look on my face for weeks on end. I am going to snub you. I am going to tell you a few words." Whatever. If bitterness is there and it's not dealt with before God, it is wrong. It is sin. And all of us have to deal with that, but we have to come to God and say, "Lord, humble me, speak to me, help me, deliver me. Help me to understand, help me to know what to do, and deliver me from this dilemma that I am imposing upon myself." We need to be careful, because the enemy will just feed it and feed it and feed it and feed it until we're defeated. And the only one that's been hurt the most is us. So as a mature believer, however, you must avoid the enemy's landmine and choose the peace of forgiveness as Christ has demonstrated to you. Have you ever gone to the Lord and asked God, you're almost afraid to ask God to forgive you because you're afraid that he might not? It sounds kind of ludicrous. But do you ever go, "Lord, this is so heinous in my thoughts that I come before you embarrassed that I'm going to ask you to forgive me, and we're so down on ourselves that we're afraid that I won't receive the forgiveness"? Ever been there? And what happens? When we ask with a genuine heart for forgiveness, our Father always forgives us. The problem is, we know God forgives us, but we have to accept his forgiveness, or else we keep imposing upon ourselves that unworthiness of guilt. In other words, we're imposing guilt. When we go to God and we ask forgiveness and we know he's forgiven us, then we forgive ourselves so that we don't walk around in guilt, because that's another enticement of the devil. Oh, he's forgiven you, but don't you feel guilty? No, you get out of my face. I've acknowledged it before my Lord. My Lord has forgiven me, and I can go on clean without carrying the guilt. That's how God wants us to deal with that. Peter told us in Matthew 18, 21 and 22, or Jesus told Peter in Matthew 18, 21 and 22. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? That was a Hebrew ideology. Well, seven times I forgive you, but after that we're done. That was culture. And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. So 449 times is the limit? No. Jesus is saying it is endless. As Jesus has forgiven us for our sins, past, present, and future, and as he forgives us and clears our conscience when we go to him in confession, 1 John 1:9, we confess our sins, he is faithful just to forgive us our sins. Right? And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have that blessing in our life, in our walk with Jesus, that he forgives us, gives us that clear conscience. And since he does that without a limit imposed on that, he doesn't say to us, you've got two more times, buddy, you're almost at 449. God says, I'll forgive you and clear your guilty conscience every time you come to me with a genuine heart of repentance. And so Jesus is simply telling Peter, you do it all the time. The idea that someone repeatedly sins against you sounds horrible, and it is. We know it happens. There are people that just, you want to throw your hands up. I'm done, right? The idea that someone repeatedly sins against you sounds horrible, but we all know it happens. We have all experienced it. In fact, we might have an immature, irresponsible, mean, or selfish person in our life. And over, they keep doing the same thing. And our flesh says, I am so tired of being insulted and hurt this way. I am done with you. But God says, forgive. Now, forgiveness doesn't mean being stupid. It means forgive and be wise about how you deal with relationships and line them up along with God's will. God, how do I deal with this? How do I deal with this frustration in my life? How come it's nonstop, ever happening frustration and anger? What do? I'm tired. And we ask God, and God will tell us the answers, specifically, uniquely for each circumstance. And then as we rely on him, we can trust him in that. Jesus' response to the repeat offender again, I do not say to you up to 70 times, but up to 70 times seven. Have you ever come to a place where you have not forgiven somebody? Are you there today? Because if you're there today, you're only allowing bitterness to overflow in your heart, and you're robbed of what God wants to bless you with. Bitterness only is that spiritual cancer in our own lives. We are to forgive others an unlimited number of times. You know why? Obviously, because Jesus forgave us. He's cleansed us, we're forgiven past, present, and future, and as we walk and we get our garments spotted, guilty, keep our garments unspotted, James wrote, and we have that guilty conscience, and we go to the Lord and we confess and repent, and he cleanses us, and we're no longer walking around with that guilt. Not only is that the reason why we should forgive, that's the primary reason, but the other reason is it's God's character. This is the character of Jesus. And we are his children. And we are to be reflectors of him. We are to be salt and light, but not light salt. Because light salt is the salt that really doesn't have an effect. But if we're truly salt, then we will have the effect that God wants us to have, and showing forgiveness with a genuine heart. And the Lord will know it, and you will know it, and it'll be health to you. The other person may not recognize it, may not approve it, may be just as insulting. Doesn't matter. You've done your part to do what's right in God's eyes. And if it's received, praise God, you've won over that relationship. If it's rejected, you've done what God has called you to do. And we can't force the hand of other people, but we can be responsible for our own actions, our own responses, and our own calling to be protective of our spiritual walk with Jesus. That's what God wants us to do. Forgiveness is against our human nature, because there have been many times I've just wanted to tell people off. Just want to go up and just, I mean, in my flesh, when I've talked to the Lord, I just want to slap them silly. That's my flesh. That's not the Spirit of God. And God has to teach me how to deal with this. I haven't conquered it yet, but it's better. It's better. We might decide we'll never see you again or have nothing to do with them or be cold or mean to them. We need to respond in a way that honors Jesus by showing grace. An unforgiving heart clings to the past, refusing to extend to others what our Heavenly Father has extended to us. Always plumb line your walk with Jesus. Line up your life alongside of what Jesus would have you to do. You know, what would Jesus do? The bracelets, the thing. It's almost become a saying. But really, we need to acknowledge, Lord, what do you want me to do? Because I want to reflect you. You might ask the question, how many times have I sinned against God? How many times has God forgiven me? And he forgives us for all of our sins because he died on the cross for our sins. And like Olin was saying earlier, he not only died for our sins, but he was resurrected. And I'll add to that, he conquered our sins. And so if God is so gracious and so loving to us, and we're his children, then we should be taking on his character. As we see his example and his interaction in our lives personally, we should be learning of him in a way that we are able to give that to others that don't deserve it, because you and I don't deserve it from Jesus as well. God never seeks revenge against us. He just offers love and forgiveness through Jesus, his Son. God doesn't revenge us. We're his children. He died for us. No greater love is there than this, that a man lay down his life for another. Ephesians 4:31 says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor. Do you know what clamor is? I used to think it was like murmuring, backbiting behind the scenes. Clamor is being loud and obnoxious and tearing down someone else publicly. It's just laying it out and just being public about your disdain for somebody. That's clamor. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Malice being evil. Put it away from us. It's not the character of God. Paul associates unforgiveness with bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, and malice, as I just said. Unforgiveness is a choice. We have to choose to forgive. We can say, I'm so mad. And this is the psychological irony of it. Somehow, in our human sinful nature, we have come to a conclusion that if I hold on to bitterness, somehow it makes me feel good because I'm still mad at you. Somehow it's a warped, backward thing where my bitterness, my offense, my hatred, my steaming feels good to me because it reflects my disdain for you. And we hold on to that. That's not what God wants. God hates that. Because we are to be forgiving. Unforgiveness is a choice to have painful attitudes. You understand that? When we're not forgiving, we're choosing to inflict pain and bitterness upon ourselves that robs us of the fullness of the spiritual walk that God wants us to have in Jesus. And so we're being foolish, modern terminology, stupid, when we do not forgive because we're imposing upon ourselves that spiritual cancer that can grow and grow and grow and overcome us. Unforgiveness is a choice to have painful attitudes like Ephesians 4:31 over a tender and forgiving heart. What feels better? I say, well, I've already said in the flesh it feels good to be mad and stay mad because it just feels good because I'm mad at you. God forbid we say I hate you, because hate is murder, and Jesus said that. But what's better? That we have a tender and forgiving spirit. That's freedom. That's freedom over the circumstance. That's freedom over it all, regardless of the reaction of the person that was offensive. We have the freedom in Christ by choosing to be forgiving. Once again, Satan, our enemy, is using the good gift of emotions that God gave us, I spoke about last week, as a landmine against us and others in our lives. Do you see the picture of the personal landmine that we're stepping on when we're not forgiving? Do you understand the picture? That when we are harboring unforgiveness and bitterness, we are stepping on a spiritual landmine that only destroys us in our spiritual walk with God. And so we're inflicting really the harshest pain and destruction upon ourselves, not the person that we're mad at. So Satan, as our enemy, is using our emotions to fight against us. And it's a landmine. It's a landmine that obviously works against us. Unforgiveness leads to bitterness. Unforgiveness leads to bitterness. You see a bitter person, you see an unhappy person, and generally a person you don't want to be around. They are bitter, angry people. God knows that that is a person who really is spiritually sick inside because that bitterness has consumed them. Hebrews 12, 14 and 15 says, try to live at peace with everyone. Live a clean life. If you don't, you will never see the Lord. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. Make sure no one misses out on God's wonderful kindness. Don't let anyone become bitter and cause trouble for the rest of you. You know when it says you will never see the Lord? It doesn't mean you'll lose your salvation. Do you know what see the Lord means? Knowing him, communing with him, fellowshipping with him, having a pure heart with the Lord. Matthew 5:8 says, the pure in heart are blessed, for they shall see God. When we are right with God, we know Jesus more and more. Knowing Jesus more and more is identifying him and his character and his real, and the real relationship that we have with him in our life. We're beginning to see the distinctive features of Christ and his character and his love and our relationship with him that is growing and growing and growing in our compassion and our relationship gets richer. That's what it means to see the Lord. We're walking with a right heart, and God allows us to know him better, therefore he allows us to see him as he is, and we grow in him, and it glorifies God. So to diffuse the landmine of unforgiveness and stop the root of bitterness from growing, we need to pursue peace with all people. It's unnatural for us. It is a spiritual characteristic of Jesus. And we are to pursue. That means make the choice to deliberately take steps to forgive. That's our responsibility. I said it before, I say it again. We do what God tells us to do to make everything possible to make it right. Scripture says, do all that you can to make peace. Paraphrasing that. But if they don't receive it, they don't. We've done what God has called us to do, and we can pray for them. What's another picture of real forgiveness? It's not just a release of bitterness, but there's a genuine care for the person that offended. Bitterness turns into hatred. Hatred turns into murder. But when we are truly forgiven and we truly forgive and the bitterness is released from us, then we can actually love our enemies. You know what Jesus told us to do? Love our enemies. Because sometimes we view people that are so offensive as an enemy, and we start having more compassion and love for them because we're acting and living in a way that God wants us to. The landmine of unforgiveness explodes in our life with consequences that we will not like. Matthew 6:15, "But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." God will hold us accountable for our unforgiveness while on earth. We'll talk about that. For example, our conscience will not know the comfort of God's forgiveness. When we're not willing to forgive, then God says, when you come to me and confess your sin to me, don't expect me to clear your conscience. Whew. It's like the parable of the one guy that owed a debt to his master, and the master was shaking him, saying, "I need this, whatever," and he begged and begged, and the master said, "Okay, I'll forgive you of your debt," and it was just a little debt. And then one of the other guys had a greater debt, and God forgave him for that debt, or the master, the king, forgave him that debt. And he ran out and shook a servant of his, demanding that they would pay the debt that was owed. And he wasn't recognizing the forgiveness of the greatness of their debt and the need to forgive the debts of others. And the result was that person got thrown into jail and he had to pay his debt off. Now, I kind of messed up that parable, but I hope you remember it. God says, "I've forgiven you, you forgive others. Remember how much I've forgiven you, you forgive others." Unforgiveness, bitterness, anger, resentment will not only weaken us spiritually in our relationship with God and others, it may even cause us physical illness. If you're mad all the time, what's your blood pressure doing? By the way, what's the bile in your stomach doing? What ulcers might you incur? What type of physical pain do you get from being bitter and unforgiving? It's not the way of God, and God wants us to know the fullness of joy in Him. If you truly forgive someone, your feelings toward them will have changed. You should naturally have concern for them and their well-being. You will harbor no ill will against them. To defuse the landmine of forgiveness, let God sort it all out for you. That's the cool thing. God, I'm so ticked. God, I can't handle it. God, I am beyond up to here. God, I am drawing the line. Take it to the Lord. Lay it all out. Spell it out the way you feel it, see it, and think it. And then ask God to sort it. Ask God to break it down, to sort it out in a manner that we will hear Him and understand how we are to respond in thought, in heart, in action. God is righteous, He's sovereign, He's just, and He'll take care of the person or the situation. He'll take care of the person that wronged you, He'll take care of you. You can go to God with confidence and say, "Father, this is really big, and I can't handle it. Will you please handle it for me?" And He will. If you learn to give it over to God, He will handle it. In Romans 12:19, in the Message, it says, "Don't insist on getting even. That's not for you to do. Our do the judging, says God. Our take care of it." If anything, write down the words, "God said, I'll take care of it." We don't have to. We'll probably mess it up royally if we try to. There are many more verses, stories, parables in God's Word that teaches about forgiveness. And if you're having trouble asking for forgiveness, do Bible study. Go to your topical Bible or your concordance and look up forgiveness. Read those scriptures, find cross references, learn what you can about the importance of forgiveness. And as I said last week, but not least, memorizing and meditating on God's word will help you diffuse the landmines that are in your life, such as unforgiveness. One of the things to memorize, I've already said, and God said, I'll take care of it. Okay? We'll be better, we'll be happier, we'll be more complete, and we'll be used more for the glory of God when we handle offenses with forgiveness. Let's go to the Lord. Father, the one thing Satan doesn't want us to do is to be forgiving people. He wants us to be a people that are in contention with one another, especially your children. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are the family of God. And I pray, Father, please, that you will help us to always turn to you in dealing with relationships that are difficult, circumstances that are difficult, whatever the case might be, that we turn to you and just love you so much that we will recognize your counsel and your grace to help us to respond and to be the people you want us to be and to trust that you'll take care of the situation. And as you do, and as we see you do that, let our hearts overflow with praise to you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.